Thanks for waking up with WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Mark Lawrence here. Rob Center takes fabulous care of everything all the time, and today is no exception. Matt Catrillo is our news director, and we got fabulous reporters in the newsroom, too. Allie Stevens and Zach is in there, and we've got a wide range of people occasionally. Now, they're not all in there right now. We observe our social distancing guidelines. On the news line with us now, Samantha Pearson checks in monthly, I'm glad to say, and often talks to us about important transportation topics and the safety and interest in pedestrian and biking movement around here. But today, with her director of Lewisburg Neighborhoods hat and the Walk It, Bike It coordinator hat, we're going to talk to her about social distancing and the new normal that's overspread our area and is helping to take good care of us. Samantha, thank you so much for calling in this morning. Are you there, Samantha? All right. We apparently have a little connection glitch with her. Why don't I put the phone line on hold for a moment, and we'll get that squared away. I'm already running behind in my good commercial messages here. So, Samantha, there you go. Yep. Perfect. Okay.
Okay.
Yep, we got you.
Here.
Yep, we got you. Thank you very much. Thanks for checking in this morning. Okay, so let's talk about social distancing and guidelines. We still got some skeptics out there that, just give a big harumph about all of this. So we're wearing your good Lewisburg Neighborhoods hat and just a hat as a good neighbor in Lewisburg. A couple of initial remarks, please, about the coronavirus restrictions.
Sure. Sure. So, I mean, the biggest thing I think a lot of us are wondering is what we can do to help things and, to help the situation, help others. And that's a really sort of automatic impulse for so many people. And one of the things that is most clear is you can help by following the instructions of the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, and abiding by social distancing and good hygiene. And those criteria come down to reducing exposure to other people, staying home as much as possible. When you are out, definitely, keeping your distance, which is very awkward and different for all of us. No one has ever done this before, and we're all figuring it out. So it feels strange and can be frustrating for people, even when they are trying to do it. But, just work together on keeping us separate in ways that will help everyone in the long run.
All right, we're going to get to some really sound advice and some information, but you talked about in a new podcast that's out there, Radio Free Lewisburg, and we'll allude more about that later, but there's a thing called information hygiene that you referred to. Elaborate on that on the radio, please.
Sure. So information hygiene, at the same time that we're being told to wash our hands really carefully and, be careful about surfaces we touch and frequently touch surfaces in our home and aware that we can sort of transmit germs that way, we also want to think about information hygiene, where we can transmit bad information unintentionally often. It's not like we're going around trying to infect people. And so there's just a few guidelines that we review. They're actually provided by a fellow out in the West Coast. He has a program called SIFT for finding disinformation and guarding yourself against it. And the first one is to stop when you respond to something. S stands for stop. You just quickly put the brakes on if you've been sort of outraged by some post or, immediately had your fear triggered. Just to stop, slow down, and think a little bit, and then go through the other things about checking the sources, looking for corroboration in other places, finding the other sources that back it up, and tracing it back, tracing the information back to the primary source.
And there can be some misinformation out there, and I always question, what's the motivation between, for some of the misinformation that you may see out there in the political world or in the coronavirus response world? I mean, I almost think somebody's just... some teenager's just chuckling in his bedroom saying, oh my gosh, look what I did.
Well, some of it, I mean, it is an understandable impulse. There are a couple of different impulses there. On the one hand, to make sense of things that are confusing, so we tell ourselves stories, and some of those stories are perhaps overly optimistic about cures and things like that, or quack cures. Some of them are overly fearful. They're about conspiracy theories that other people have access to things that you don't, or things are being withheld. And I think that all of those come from very normal human impulses. So we just also need to be aware of that humanity and be careful about it. Like I said, one of the best ways you can do it is just by looking for corroboration, multiple reliable sources. So you check, you investigate the source, that's the I in SIFT. And so a source that is questionable could be giving good information. And if it is, that information should be coming from other reliable places. But you should definitely look into what the source is. And like I said, a lot of times people are just responding out of emotion. So they didn't observe that stop, the S. They just saw something and they shared it. So I don't think we need to get into too much into bad actors right now, but because we have enough of a problem just being on top of the information. That's one reason Lewisburg Neighborhood has been putting, you know, the primary sources you should be going to, like the CDC, the WHO, or World Health Organization, the State Department of Health. You know, we've got those sites up top on our COVID information page and are really trying to make sure people have the tools they need to check the info they're getting.
Well, and you always have some people that that feel as though those locations for information aren't reliable, or they're, you know, they sort of look at the whole world in a manner that they don't agree with. Very independent individuals out there, and so of course we invite them to just to continue to scrutinize. And if you can comply with some of these restrictions, you'll participate in this life-saving work that we're all doing. Well, you often come on in our program and talk about pedestrian and hiking and biking safety. All of that's still permitted with proper social distancing observed.
That's right. And so we see actually DCNR, you know, the Department of Conservation and Natural Resources, has been putting out memes to help people remember this, and just pointing out that even if you're sort of out and about on a trail, you should still go to the effort of maintaining a 6-foot distance even on a trail. If someone has to step to the side or, you know, keep back. You want to keep people from different households separate. It's a little hard to tell. You know, you might be out and there might be a large family group, but the best you can do is assume that they know whether they need to social distance from the people around them, and that group might be one household, and so fine together. But you may need to, like I said, step off to the side. If you're on a trail, if you're on a sidewalk, you might need to, you know, move to the other side of the street. There is less traffic right now. If you wind up walking in the street for a while, remember to walk against traffic. You want to walk on the opposite side, ideally, if you were, as if you were driving. That allows you to see any cars coming. And again, you may find yourself doing that just because the sidewalk is narrow and someone is passing you, so one of you goes out and walks around a parked car or something like that.
Well, and there's no restrictions on some fabulous eye contact and a big smile to the people that you see out and about. It's
Good point.
It's the great socialization that we are permitted to do, and we are allowed to greet each other across the way.
That's actually a good point, because a lot of people are sort of acting like the word social is actually what it means and are sort of avoiding talking. It's possible, you know, and avoiding eye contact, like you're saying, it's possible it's just sort of a discomfort with these new rules, and, you know, everything feels weird, so just trying to race through it. But some people have been pointing out that what we really need is physical distancing and not social distancing. So we want to try to maintain those social connections where possible.
Yeah, in my personal life, I've been socially distant for about 10 years. So this is nothing new for me, but I enjoy eye glances and smiling at everybody that I see coming the other way. We are presently enjoying the governor's stay-at-home order. There are some subtle differences between that and what we had previously, which was the non-essential business and unnecessary travel request. Outline the differences between where we were yesterday and where we are today.
So at a certain level, this is mostly just a change in tone. Like, for real now, people take this seriously. There are many people in our area who have been observing this, especially if they themselves have or someone in their household is in a more at-risk category. But what this does shift us to is that it's official that even in our county, in our counties in our area, we need to try to stay at home as much as possible. The authorities will be not necessarily doing major enforcement, but they know that this is what we're being asked to do in the name of public health. And when we do the allowable activities, we want to keep the number of people doing them down. So whereas we might still have had, you know, a crowd of people piling into the car to go grocery shopping or something like that, ideally we should just have one person from the household going. That will also make it easier when you're in the confined space of the store to maintain social distance there, because that is hard. Like, grocery store aisles are one of the things that are, unless everyone's going the same direction, you know, make the aisles one way, it's hard to keep 6 feet apart.
I've been asking everybody I see who's informed on this, now you're next. Should we always wear a mask when we're outdoors?
Okay, great question. So when you say outdoors, you mean like out of your house or something?
Yes.
So this has been a changing thing to keep track of, right? And people initially, and even still, both WHO and CDC have been saying the general public does not need masks. The masks, and especially medical masks and N95 respirators that are virus blocking, need to be reserved for our healthcare workers, people in the front lines. And so, on the one hand, that still stands. At the same time, there have been other messages starting to come through. There's new data, or just even sort of people thinking through the data that we have about how people can be transmitting the disease without being aware that they're infected yet. Or aware that they're infected at all, the people who are asymptomatic entirely. And so those percentages are leading people to suggest that maybe some people, if you are out, especially if you're going to be in confined spaces and regularly exposed to other people, should be wearing masks. So there is now a great website called maskfacts.org, and I had been trying to compile all this onto my website and going nuts, and someone just sent this to me. It reviewed it. It looks great. It has scientific research. It has mask patterns. It goes through the fact that we do need to reserve all official masks for healthcare workers, but then also talks about the reasons why and how it could be helpful, and how the recommendations are changing, and there's not absolute agreement on this. The basic idea is that we don't have evidence that a mask definitely protects you from getting the disease, but that doesn't mean we have evidence that it doesn't. That's number one. That's a little bit of a confusing sentence. And we do have evidence that if you are infected, a mask will help prevent you from spreading the disease. And the complication there is if we don't know if we are yet infected, and everyone's acting as on the assumption that they might be, we should all wear masks to prevent infecting others.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. We talked to one infectious disease doc who said he gave us a 20-minute answer, and the conclusion was, so it's not a bad idea, but leave your masks N95 for the responders first, and then we'll go from there. We're going to take a break. We take our 10-minute break in between segments, so I'm going to put you on hold. You may stay on hold or dial back. That's your opportunity. So, Samantha, we're going to talk to you again shortly. So thanks for calling in today. Samantha Pearson, director of the Lewisburg Neighborhoods Group and Walk It, Bike It coordinator, and we're talking to her about social distancing. We're going to talk about Radio Free Lewisburg when we come back and how people can help under these circumstances and where they can get help. So I think these are going to be three topics when we return with more of Samantha Pearson on WDKOK Sunrise. We are right in the middle of our interview with Samantha Pearson, director of the Lewisburg Neighborhoods Corporation and Walk It, Bike It coordinator. We did talk about enjoying the outdoors and getting some exercise while doing appropriate social distances. We talked about whether it's a terrible idea or not to wear a face mask and information hygiene. Make sure you're checking out some of the public information that you utilize. You are participating in one of the efforts to get good information out there, reliable information, or at least talk about reliable information sources. Radio Free Lewisburg. Tell us about this podcast that's now out there.
Sure, Mark. So basically, in response to the COVID-19 challenge, we have brought together virtually a number of people in the Lewisburg community and realized that we need to up our game in terms of connecting with people. So we normally have email and events and, we come on the radio, but we need other ways of reaching out. And so I'm working with Julie Hagenbuch, who is the founder of Stories on Tap. You may recall her from Matt. And Farida Zaid, who is she's been working recently on something called Union County Connect, trying to get people more connected in the event of something like this. And so we decided to create the podcast. It's being called Radio Free Lewisburg. It's available on Spotify. And if you're not familiar with that platform, you can also find it by going to the Lewisburg Neighborhoods website. And there's links right at the top of the page to get you there. We are basically just trying to, so far, we're not calling it coronavirus program, because in theory we'd like it to be a tool that can continue and be useful for solidarity and community unity here in central Pennsylvania. While Lewisburg Neighborhoods is very involved in it, we really don't see it as solely restricted to Lewisburg. Definitely are interested in getting listeners and feedback and questions from people around the area, and we're trying to, get in questions and then see what we can do to research and discuss the topics people are concerned about.
And do you include a show notes section, like you often hear from a good podcast, where you can link to some of the things that are talked about?
Yes, we do. It has been a little confusing where we've been keeping those. They've been on the Lewisburg Neighborhoods website and on the podcast host site, and now we're driving everyone to the podcast host site. That URL is radiofreelewisburg.libsyn.com, but people can also, like I said, find it through our website. That may be easier.
Yeah, Lewisburg.
But yeah, we definitely provide links to things that have come up and sources and stuff like that.
LewisburgNeighborhoods.org, the place to go for that information. Where can people get help? And by that I mean some actual physical help, or someone to help them out, or somebody to do something for them if they need some assistance. Where's a go-to place for that?
So one of the primary things we're trying to get people to do is contact the 211 system. And 211 is something that exists. It's perennial. It has been around. We hope it will continue to be around to help connect people to a variety of services, whether they need food, they need shelter, they need help with bills, they need access to medical care. All of those things, at any time, you should be able to access by contacting 211. But especially now, we're really working with United Way locally and the Community Action Agency and the Area Agency on Aging on getting that word out. You can access them by going online to NEPA211.org, or you can also just call them. And basically, they're a statewide organization, but they will then plug you into the local service providers in our area. Now, that said, and like I said, there are a lot of people right now who, because of this massive shutdown of our economy, are finding themselves in dire straits that have never expected to be there, you know, never thought it would come to this. And so they may have no idea how to find help. And so, to be perfectly honest, it is really helpful for everyone to just be broadcasting this, like, personally, like, letting people you know in your circle through social media, in conversation, you know, in phone calls, just helping people know that 211 exists. And literally, you just dial 211, you know, instead of 911, you just dial 211.
All right. And what if someone wishes to help? How can people help?
So there's actually a fairly long list in some ways. On the other hand, we don't yet have really clear tasks. So on the one hand, there are concrete things like letting people know about 211. There's a sign up to be at the ready to help with food provision and deliveries and things like that through United Way. That does not have an easy URL, but if you go on Lewisburg Neighborhoods, I've been sharing that. There's also a Susquehanna Valley Helpers Facebook group that is working with that. And at this point, most of that is still a little bit quiescent. We're sort of waiting. People are starting to call in and get plugged in as needed, but honestly, we are anticipating that things will be more serious in the coming weeks. So those are two things you can do that are sort of direct and immediate. Other things you can do physically, you can reach out to friends or reach out to not just friends. Like if there are other people in your neighborhood or in your awareness that maybe you are not that connected with, and we need to also be reinforcing those networks or reinforcing our networks where our connections aren't as strong as they should be. So I've been talking to people about, you know, reach out to people who might just be a work connection or, you know, anyone you think might need help and might not already be looped in some way.
All right, and you're trying please continue.
Well, and so other things you can do, there are less, you know, some things are matters of life and death. Other things are just trying to help people, you know, with kids home. They may be going on lots of family walks, and the kids might be going out of their minds. One really kind of fun thing you can do is actually join the bear hunt movement, where everyone is putting stuffed animals in their windows or on their porches so that kids going for walks can add that as like an activity in the absence of getting together with friends and stuff like that. They can do little bear hunts around their neighborhoods.
I never thought I'd heard you promote that as part of our good segments in the morning, but there are a ton of people having fun with that around here.
It's true. And then some people have skills that they can use to help. We were talking about masks in the first half. There is a local group on Facebook called the Mask Connection, so people who are skilled at sewing are working on sewing and providing masks, not for strictly speaking medical personnel, but for people who are in high public contact positions, whether that is sort of people in nursing homes, people in working in grocery stores, first responders, things like that, who may not have, you know, a claim to the PPE that we've been talking about. So you can get in on sewing masks. Even if you've already sewn them for your friends and neighbors, you can sew them for additional people by getting connected that way. People who have 3D printers are working on printing parts for face shields, which is part of the personal protective equipment. So in fact, especially with homemade masks, they do not, they're really a last resort solution. They're not certified to protect against especially, you know, just moisture. They are not moisture resistant. So a face, they need to be used in combination ideally with a face shield. And so those are also in short supply, as I'm sure everyone's aware. There are a variety of different ways that 3D print, people with 3D printing equipment can make parts that can become parts of face shields. Then, so that's all things you can do, sort of, that the range of things you can do. To be perfectly honest, I actually would recommend that everyone, and this is going to sound a little weird because I'm a, Lewisburg Neighborhoods is a non-political entity, I think we should all be calling our senators and representatives at the federal level. This isn't about a quote, political or a partisan issue. We need to be asking them for basically logistics support for national, at the national level, for the PPE and the ventilators and all of these things that doesn't seem to be happening. So we need to be sort of making our voices heard at that at the federal level, asking for help. We're here making masks, and we need them to help make sure that supplies are getting distributed and sent as needed, when needed, around the country. We're clearly having some issues with that. We also could ask them for a bigger push on testing, because the more testing we have, the better able we'll be to, a better position we'll be in to be able to restart the economy. We're sort of a little bit blind at the moment with testing shortages that have been ongoing. So, again, while that sounds a little unusual, as a nonpartisan organization, I think these are nonpartisan asks that we should be making.
Right, you're just asking for the kind of helps that they are quite capable of helping to provide. All right, contact information. We're at the end of our interview, lewisburgneighborhoods.org. And what's the phone number if somebody wishes to use the old-fashioned telephone to contact Lewisburg Neighborhoods?
They should call 570-523-0114 and definitely leave a message with your phone number. We don't have any way of getting, identifying your call from a distance.
All right. Thank you so much, Samantha Pearson. Keep in touch. You have an open mic anytime to talk about these important updates and help us to keep our information hygiene accurate and well-connected. Thank you, Sam.
Great. Bye.
Samantha Pearson, director of the Lewisburg Neighborhoods Group and Walk It, Bike It coordinator in Lewisburg.